We're going to preach about the title of the message is this, Christmas in a Word. I think there's one word we find here that sums it all up for us. And we'll see that word as we read along. But let's begin in verse number 18. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we come to ask for your grace and your blessing upon the time we spend considering what's here in the Scriptures. And Lord, we know that the Bible not only contains a truthful and a relevant message, but Lord, truly the message of life, of eternal life. And I pray that, Father, you would help us as we ponder the message here, that we would see what truly Christmas really is about. And that, Father, we would, as the people say, be in the Christmas spirit, the true Christmas spirit. We would understand the true meaning of Christmas and the effect that it would have in our life. Would you help us in these things, Lord, and just have your way in the service. And Lord, please help me to be able to speak, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Perhaps for centuries, people have philosophized, how do you say that word? You know, they've been philosophical about what the true meaning of Christmas is. And perhaps it's because, you know, there's in the back of everybody's mind, we know that Jesus is the reason for the season. We know that Christmas is about the birth of Christ. But really, it's not a new phenomenon that it's been kind of overran by a lot of other things. Would you agree with that? There's a lot of things that Christmas has become to be about, including lots of shopping, sales, and gatherings, and, you know, these sort of things. And people have, you know, I've heard people perhaps all my life who have kind of been despairing about the commercialism of Christmas and so on, and rightly so. I'm not saying that's not. I'm just saying that there's this overlap. There's an underlying truth that everybody recognizes it's there, the birth of Christ, the incarnation of Christ, but it's been shielded, or it's been obliterated in some sense. It's been made obscure by a lot of other things that people have made Christmas to be about. And so because of that, you know, there seems to be this these differing views or differing things about Christmas. And so people are involved in all the shopping and the hustle and the bustle, and they're, you know, they talk about and they watch the TV shows about Santa Claus and reindeer, and they see, you know, there's all these things that are there, but yet still they're conscious of the fact that that's really not what Christmas is about. Do you follow what I'm saying? And so because of that, you know, they're thinking about what Christmas is about a little bit in the back of their mind, although some people, I suppose, have forgotten altogether, or at least for the most part. Now, we as Christians, however, it should be completely the opposite way around, where the world's celebration of Christmas is out there, and we can't avoid the fact that it's out there, but really that's not where our focus ought to be at all. That's not at all where our emphasis should be. Our emphasis needs to be on the birth of Christ, the incarnation, that God became a man and dwelt among us. And that needs to be the focus, and we need to check ourselves and constantly bring ourselves back into that reality about Christmas, rather than the fantasy of Christmas. But in all of the philosophy about what Christmas really means, a lot of people, even when they try to tie back to the birth of Christ and so on, they might still miss the mark as to what really Christmas is about. And when they try to connect it to the real meaning, and they say that Christmas means, you know, the Christmas spirit, the true meaning of Christmas has to do with family, and that's a great part of our Christmas celebration. We can get together as family. Some people say, well, you know, it's for the children, and it's about the children. And I think kids love Christmas, and nothing wrong with children enjoying the Christmas season. I enjoy the Christmas season. I'm still young enough, you know, that I'm rooting for snow. Man, I want some snow. I just enjoy the whole winter and Christmas and all those things. And I know some of you think that's crazy, but I just really get into that. But anyway, Christmas, you know, sure, family gatherings is a wonderful part of celebrating Christmas in many homes, and that's enjoyable. Children can, you know, the faces light up when presents are given and unwrapped and so on, and that's a fun thing to watch. Generosity is often described as the meaning of Christmas. You know, it's part of the spirit of Christmas that we're to be charitable, and people give at Christmas time to charities like they don't in any other time of the year. And I'm not against that. I think it's good, perhaps, you know, if you feel that, you know, you want to give to certain food banks or charities and things like that, that's just fine. But all those things, even though they're getting a little warmer, you know, that's not what Christmas is about. Christmas, and then churches, you know, we say, well, Christmas is about the birth of Christ. Yeah, that's definitely what it's about. It's about the incarnation, that God became a man. God, you know, became a baby, dwelt in human flesh, and that's what the incarnation is about. That a Savior was born and you know, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and the story of the birth of Christ, and certainly that's what Christmas is about. But is there more? What exactly, why did that happen, I guess, is the question I want to ask. Why did God come? Why did Jesus, why was he born? Why was he born of a virgin? Why all these things? What is it really all about? And I think that the heart of it can be summed up in a word. I think it's the word we find in verse 23. That a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name, and this is the word, Emmanuel. Emmanuel. And then, thankfully, it's interpreted there for you. What does it mean? It means God with us. I would suggest that that sums up, really, if you think about it, what Christmas is about. God with us. That God would come and be with us, that God wants to be with us, and God wants us to be with Him. That's why He came, is it not? He came to save His people from their sins so that they could then be with Him. And that's what Christmas is really about, is that God came to be with us and to die for us so that then we could be with Him. Christmas summed up in a word. As I was thinking about that, I wrote down in my Bible, and I won't give you all of these points, I won't expound upon them all today. I put God with us in person, God with us in prayer, God with us in pain, God with us in problems, God with us in power, God with us in punishment, and God with us in paradise. Aren't you glad I'm not going to try to preach all those? But let's take a couple of those and think about them today. First of all, God with us in person. That's what it means when Christ came and was born. He came personally to be with us. The baby that was born of Mary, before her and Joseph had come together, that little baby who was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger in Bethlehem of Judea, that little baby was God in flesh. Isn't that fascinating? I mean, that's just trying to wrap your mind around that is a little difficult, but that's okay. God is, beyond my complete comprehending anyway. But He came with us, and so the person who was born on Christmas morn, and we could debate whether Jesus was born on December 25th. Probably not, but that's okay. The point is this: Jesus was born. Amen. And the one who was born as a baby, laid in a manger, was God in flesh. Not just a man indwelt by God, but God as a man dwelling among us. As fascinating as that is, that's what Christmas is about. God came among us as a man, as a baby. The Bible says in Isaiah 9, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon His shoulders." And the name that He's called here identifies who He is. He is, should be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. In John chapter 1 and verse number 14, it says that the Word, who is identified in verse 1 as with God and was God, the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us. And we beheld His glory as of the glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says this about Jesus. It says, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." And so, that's what Christmas is about. It's about God personally came as a baby to be with us, to live as us, as a man, and to relate to us because God wants to be with us. When the woman touched that, the woman that had the issue of blood that touched the garment of Jesus, she touched that which was touching God. When Jesus touched the leper, that leprous skin, and he was cleansed and healed, it was God who touched him. When Jesus touched the sightless eyes of the blind, giving them sight, it was God who touched those eyes. When the multitude heard Jesus, they heard the words of God. When He spoke the healing to those who were lame, and He called Lazarus out of the grave, it was the voice of God who was speaking. And when Judas kissed Him, it was the cheek of God that He kissed. When they spit in His face and plucked the hairs out of His beard, it was the face of God that man spit on and plucked the beard out. And when they nailed His hands and His feet to the cross, it was the hands and feet of God they nailed to the cross. And so we need to remember that God came personally. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, the Bible says, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on His name. And so Christmas is about God with us. And that, reveals the desire of God, that God wants to be with us. When God created a man in the Garden of Eden, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul, and then he took from the rib and created a woman named Eve, and they were the only ones created in the image of God. The only creatures, the only beings that God created in his own image. Why? Because God wanted fellowship with man. God wanted a relationship with man, and God still wants a relationship with man. He wants to be with you. That's the desire of God. So much so that when Adam and Eve sinned and sin separated them from God, God made a way then for their sins to be cleansed, and that way took him coming and dying on the cross for them. That's how much God wants to be with us. It reveals the desire of God. It reveals the deficiency of man. He could not fulfill that desire without first cleansing us from sin, because God is holy. But God's desire to be with us was so strong that the separation that sin brought did not deter him, even though it would cost him so much to cleanse us. He went through that to bring us back to be with him. And so the first thought is this: God with us in person. That he did not just only send his prophets to speak his word. He not only sent Moses to be a deliverer for the people out of Egypt or bondage. He didn't just send Aaron to be priest, to intercede for them in behalf of God, to offer sacrifices. He didn't just do those things, although he did those, but he also came in person, in the person of Jesus Christ, to be with us. There's another P. I didn't even have it written in my Bible margin, but I was reminded of this as I was thinking God with us in person. And as I was going through my day yesterday and I was thinking about how God wants to be with us personally, I was reminded also that God is with us in private. That he's there. He sees us. He is in our private lives and thoughts. But he wants to have a relationship with us. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 8, and I'll move to the second point. God with us in person. And then, secondly, I'd like to share this one with you: God with us in prayer. Now, this is encouraging to you that are Christians today, because I hope you pray. I would assume most of us here are people who pray. And aren't you glad to know that God's with us in prayer? I want you to look, first of all, in chapter 8 of Romans in verse number 31. Let's start to read there. He says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now that's a great statement, isn't it? If God is with us, then who can stand against us? Do you catch that, what I'm saying there? Think about that. If I know that God is with me, and I'm with him, as I go through life, what can stop me? But you know what I mean. If God's with me, I don't have anything to fear. When I was a little boy, as long as my dad was with me, I had great boldness because he was with me. And with my Heavenly Father, I can have that same boldness. Well, anyway, let's read on a little bit. He says in verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right... Now, this is a phrase I want you to really pay attention to. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us. God makes intercession for us. The word intercession is basically, we use it to, you know, when we intercede on the behalf of someone else, we're praying to God for someone. The Bible says that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father praying for us. He's interceding for us. You know, there's a false idea that we have to pray to Mary to get to Jesus. That's not true. We can pray to Jesus, but Jesus is before the Father, and He's interceding on our behalf. And I don't even fully comprehend all what is He praying for us about. I'm not sure of all those things, but I know that the Bible tells us that He is able to save us because He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And we know that, I mean, just some thoughts I try to connect about this in my mind in the Bible. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 that we have an adversary, the devil, who is the accuser of the brethren. And he says who accuses us before God day and night. On the one hand, you have Satan accusing us. Look at him. He's, you know, you would love him. What? Look, he's a sinner. And he could accuse me of all kinds of things. But then on the other hand, the Bible tells me in 1 John chapter 2 that if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. An advocate is like an attorney who is there to say, you know, all the accuser accusing me and can find fault and point out lots of things, but Jesus is interceding for me, saying, yeah, I know, but He's mine. I've washed Him in my blood. And He's a child of He's one who has received me, and therefore He's given the authority or the power to become the sons of God. And so He's interceding for me. I don't know what all that means, but I'm so thankful, aren't you, that God is with me in prayer, interceding for me, not only in that sense, but back up the chapter for a moment to verse number, well, I'd like to start about verse number 24. Verse number 24, it says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we have that we see not, then we do we with patience wait for it." Verse 26. "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God." So on the one hand, you have Jesus at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. And then you have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God interceding in us, with us. And that's a fascinating scripture. We could spend, you know, a whole message talking about how that is. But just think about this. He says He helps our infirmities because we know not what to ask like we should. And yet the Holy Spirit in us, He knows our heart. He knows our needs. And He is also helping us. He's making intercessions for us, in us, through us. To the one who searches the heart, God who searches the heart, He knows what's in our heart. And the Holy Spirit, you know, He's with groanings, with unutterable words, words that aren't uttered. He prays for us. He helps us to pray, to put in our hearts what to pray. I mean, there's lots in there. I've spent several hours just reading and studying about that verse last night. And but God with us in prayer. God with us in prayer. Aren't you glad about that? That because He came to be with us and He saved us, now He indwells us, and when we go to prayer, He's with us to pray. And the Lord is at the right hand praying for us. And so we see God with us in prayer. God with us in pain. Let me give you a couple thoughts with that. Go to Hebrews chapter 2, because all of us experience pain. Pains of, you know, physically, but emotional pain, heart pain, all kinds of pains. But God is with us in that as well. I want you to just read four verses here. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 14. It says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh, of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." The same what? Talking about flesh and blood. He became a man. "That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." There's a lot in there too, but I want to just pick out this one thought that flows through there, and it says this: he took part of flesh and blood, he became a man, and he suffered. He died. He was tempted. He knows the feelings of our infirmities, the Bible says, because he was with us. And so what he's trying to say there is that we have a sympathetic high priest, one who understands, one who knows what it's like. He's been there. He felt that. He experienced it. And so what is that? That's just part of God saying, yes, I understand. Yes, I feel for you. Yes, I'm interested in you because I've been there. God could have just stayed in heaven and said, omnisciently, I understand you. I created you. But he wanted to go beyond that. He took a step further. He went through it himself. He felt it personally. Do you see that? What does that say about God to you and me? To me, that says that God loves us in such a marvelous way. He didn't have to go and experience all those things. He came to earth when he did. He knew that he was going to... he knew he chose Mary and Joseph. Not some wealthy celebrity family. He chose a carpenter. To be born not in a palace, not to live on earth just in luxury, but to be born in a stable and laid in a manger. Not to live a life that was of leisure and ease or, these kind of things. But he went through life in such a manner that he would be able to identify with and feel and experience all that you and I go through. To be tempted in manners like we are, yet without sin. And so I'm just saying, God knows he's with us in pain. When your heart is broken, when you're at wit's end, when your life seems, not turning out the way you wanted it to. God understands that. He's with us in that. Let me give you this thought real quickly. God with us in power. In Matthew chapter 28, the end of the book of Matthew, Jesus was about ready to ascend back to heaven. And he just said this. These words are so familiar to you. You can look at it, though, in verse number 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." If you summed all that up, Jesus says, "All power is given unto me. You go, and I'll be with you." That's what he says. And so he says, I have the power. I have the authority. I'm backing you. And as you go through life, as you try to serve me, I'm not going to just send you out there like sheep among wolves without some strength, without some authority, without some backing behind you. And he's there with us to strengthen us. to empower us and to help us. God with us in punishment, He bore our sins on the cross. He took my sins upon Himself, all of them. And if all of my sins are laid on Jesus and He bore them to the cross, and when I by faith put my trust in Him, that becomes my reality, that my sins, all of them are on Him, that means none of them are left on me. I don't say that as prideful. I'm just saying that's how much God wanted to be with us. And so then His righteousness is imputed to me, and I am saved because of Him. And then lastly, God with us in paradise. Let me read you this scripture and I'll close. In 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The day is going to come, my friends, when Jesus is going to return. Christ will come again, and He will receive His own unto Himself, and the dead in Christ will rise up out of the graves. And we which are alive, if we're still alive at that point, will be caught up to meet Him in the air, and we will then be changed, glorified into bodies that are eternal, that are incorruptible, and the Bible says that we will ever be with the Lord. Jesus told His disciples, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And so what's the point? The point is this: God wants to be with us. Christmas is, that's the message God was saying to the world. I've come to be with you, among you, personally, to die for you, to bring you with me. And when I'm with you, I'll be with you in prayer. I'll be with you through the pains of life. I'll be with you with strength. I'll be with you in all those ways. Personally, I'm with you. I make my abode in you. And then He says to us, "Now you abide in me." And so, to me, that sums up Christmas. God with us. Aren't you glad that God wants to be with you? You can be with God now and in eternity because He came to be with us. Let's stand together.